Praise God. Open your Bible, please, to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. It's a joy to have you here in the services this morning. All our friends in the means of by the means of radio and internet, appreciate you being here. And we've been going through the book of Isaiah and dealing with different subjects in the book of Isaiah and chapters. And I've come this morning to Isaiah chapter 34. And you have your Bibles open there for just a minute. We've got quite a few announcements we'll share with you at the close of the service this morning, but I wanted to hold those. Thank you for some very kind cards people have given us already. Thank you notes and such as that. We'll share those in just a few minutes. I'm looking at your faces this morning, and I know way down deep inside you're happy, but it ain't showing on your face. Now, we say that from time to time, and I'm serious about it. It is hard to preach. It is hard to sing looking at you. If you were up here, that's what Teresa was talking about a while ago. But I don't think that's not what I'm feeling and seeing now. Because what I'm feeling and seeing now, I see across this nation and in our communities where there are Bible-believing people who love America, that there is a sadness in your heart. There is something, a spirit moving across our country that's completely contrary to everything you and I believe in. And there is a heaviness on us. There is a burden on us. And if we try to just hide it, it's just superficial. There is a joy of the Lord in my soul. But there's a weeping in my mind and heart for my country and for this world. I preach a message called The Drowning of John Smith. And the Lord made this statement in regard to the flood. My spirit will not always strive with man. There's a time when God says, enough is enough. You feel what I feel. You feel a sense of helplessness. We can do what we can do to pray for our country and to try to preach the gospel and see as many people saved as we can and pray earnestly for revival. And we're doing that. We're going to keep on doing that. But I honestly believe that across this country, there is a lack of hope for the future for our country. Now, there are two or three ways we can approach that. We can look at the immediate results of what's happening, or we can keep a vision of what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, he said this. He said that you ought to run with patience the race that's set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You and I are to keep on going. Sometimes in a runner's life. Now, I don't run much unless somebody's after me. It's been a while since anybody's been after me. But they tell me that runners start off and boy, they do well. And then all of a sudden they come up against what they call the wall. Man, they'll get tired and their body is just aching. And their mind's saying, you can't go on. You need to quit. But they tell me, and I've never done this, that you can go through that wall and there's a new burst of energy. And I'm praying that God, the Holy Ghost, will do that for us. Help us to look beyond what we're seeing in the daily news and on the everywhere else and look beyond that. But I can say this to you honestly, that I honestly believe that God is fixing to say enough is enough. Now look in your Bible, please, in Isaiah chapter 34. This prophecy of Isaiah was an immediate prophecy for the impending coming of the Babylonians into the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has already collapsed and fallen, been taken captive by the Assyrians. Sennacherib is surrounding Jerusalem. He's the king of the Assyrians. But God is going to judge them. It's recorded in the Word of God that God did judge them. 185,000 died one night. The Israelis never had to lift a finger. God delivered them. But they were not delivered from their sin. They were not delivered from their failure to trust God and look to God. And so consequently, they are going to fall. But in those immediate prophecies, Isaiah's looking down through time to people who've done the same thing. People who God time after time has blessed. People who time after time God has honored and God has delivered and God given peace. America's never lost a war unless you count Vietnam. God's been good to America. God's blessed us. But I believe God's saying now in my heart, enough is enough. I believe that. When you see what's going on across our political climate around the and our nation around the world. But look with me, please, in Isaiah 34, because now he's not addressing the immediate impending judgment of nation of Israel by the Babylonians, but he's looking down through time. And listen to what he says in Isaiah 34. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a fallen fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats and the fat of the kidneys of rams. The Lord hath sacrificed in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. The unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullock with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. Look at that verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. God is going to say, enough is enough. My spirit shall not always strive with man in that he's flesh. This is not going to keep on like it's going. God's going to come to the place where he says, enough is enough. He repeats this theme. Look over in chapter 63 of Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 63 and listen as he resounds that trumpet again of warning of impending judgment when God says, enough is enough. It's the day of the vengeance of the Lord. Chapter 3, and look at verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments with Bozrah? This that is glorious in his appearing, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? He hath trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there is none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Let's look over to chapter 66. Just pick out a verse or two there. In the closing chapter of that book, look at verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Look on over into the book of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah also is contemporary with Isaiah in preaching, and God's given him the same truth. Look at verse number 29. Of chapter number 25. For lo, I begin evil on the city, which is called by my name, and should be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Now, When's that happening? Turn over, if you will, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. I want to remind you while you're turning to Revelation chapter 19 and all our friends in the ready audience. The Bible said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not a God of hatred. He's not a God of violence. He's a God of holiness. He's a God who is a God who is called a consuming fire. He has given ample time for America to repent. He's given ample time for you to repent. Time and again, He's called you through the prayers of your parents, your grandparents, and your great-grandparents. Time and again, you've heard the Word of God preached and taught through the means of radio and television and tracts and books. And throughout all of your life, you've been warned. Our country has had the greatest preachers in the history of the Christian church to walk across this land and cry aloud the voice of God and plead with this people to repent. But notice what He said in the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. This is yet to come. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth He judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and crying with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, God would burn in our hearts this morning this great truth. The day of the vengeance of the Lord is coming. Now, Father, we are pleading with you for revival. But God, I pray there'd be an urgency to our praying. I pray, God, that there'd be a seeking you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that you would move on us as you did on the Apostle Paul. And our Father, we too could testify that knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit right now will speak to hearts here in the building and the ready audience, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem? Raise your hand or say amen. 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 How many of you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross outside the city of Jerusalem and that He was buried and that He arose again the third day and He's alive now, seated at the right hand of the Father? Say amen. Amen. You believe the Word of God. We all believe the Word of God. We believe that Jesus came. How many of you believe that Jesus said, if you'll come unto me, He'll not cast you out? And how many of you in this building came to Him and you called on Him and He saved you and gave you everlasting life? Say amen. Amen. The Word of God is true. You can believe the Word of God. You can take it to the bank. And just as surely as He came the first time, He's coming back again. And just as surely as He said, if you'll call on me, I'll save you, He said this, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And he said, he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wrath of God is hanging like a heavy cloud over this nation and around the whole world. God the Holy Ghost came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He's pleaded and drawn and dealt with and carried the gospel through preachers and missionaries and singers and tracts and recordings of all different types, drawing men to himself and pleading with men to repent. And I believe, my dear friend, that if you listen very carefully, you could hear our Savior once again weeping over the nations and saying what he said over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how often I'd gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me that you might have life. My dear friend, the day of his patience, the day of his grace, the day of his drawing is coming to an end. And my dear friend, it may be in our lifetime. Preacher Burke has often said that he believes that he'll be alive when Jesus comes. My dear friend, I believe that's more true to all of us today, that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we believe he is coming again. But just as sure as he's coming back for his church, he's coming in great judgment on this earth. Throughout the Word of God, it's prophesied and preached. In the book of Daniel is given a great deal of attention. And in the book of Daniel, of course, you learn much about what's called the tribulation period, as you do in the book of Revelation. I want to call your attention this morning, and for most of you, this will simply be just a review of what you've already learned in Sunday school. I know that Brother Randy has gone through the book of Revelation, and others have gone in there. But I want to reemphasize to all of our hearts this morning the reality of this. Because sometimes we see the Word of God as a Sunday school lesson and not as everyday life. Not as something that really happened and that's going to really happen. And when I preach on the drowning of John Smith, I remember as it was yesterday being in the Caney Creek Baptist Church down in New Harmony, Florida. Another preacher was preaching. The building was packed. In those days, we saw revival across that land. God moved. It was so full that I was sitting on one of the steps down near the front along with so many other people. The building was packed, people outside. And I don't even remember the preacher's name that was preaching. And he simply made reference to the flood. And God burdened my heart sitting on the altar that day about the reality that God said this, the end of all flesh has come before me. I will destroy everything in whose nostrils is the breath of life. And it dawned on me for the first time, although I was a Bible student, although I'd been teaching Sunday school, although I'd been a preacher, that there was a day that God opened the fountains of the deep, that he opened the windows of heaven, and he destroyed everything on the face of the earth in whose nostrils was the breath of life. And they died. Teenagers died. Children died. Seniors died. Young couples with a whole life in front of them died. My dear friend, that day's coming again. Not by water, but by the flaming fire of our Lord. He's coming back. And Isaiah describes it as the day of his vengeance when he comes back. My dear friend, what you see on the news that so troubles your heart, that's only a myth of what's going on in the world. God sees everything. He hears every thought. He hears every blasphemy. He sees all the wicked sin of our nation and of this world. And it's a million times worse than you and I could ever imagine. And it is 24/7 in the sight and the knowledge of our Lord over and over again. He pleads, gave his son to die, and men trample underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen? Today, people are anxious and worried about the economy. They're anxious and worried about possible rise of Antichrist. I would remind you, my dear friend, that you do not need to worry about those things, but you certainly better fear the wrath of Almighty God. He is coming, and you need to fear him, and you need to take due response to that. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, I want to read to you in 2 Thessalonians, a passage of Scripture, in verse chapter 2 and verse number 7. And listen to what it says this. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, the word letteth is a 1611 King James word. It's not a bad word. It's just we don't use it very much. It means hinder. And what he said is this. He said, right now, as bad as things are, there's somebody that's holding back the floodgates. There's somebody that's hindering right now. There's somebody that's keeping things from getting completely out of hand. But he said, there's coming a time when all restraint will be gone. There's coming a time when the restraining work of the Holy Spirit of God is going to cease. He's not going to do it anymore. He'll let man run his course. And that'll plunge man into the tribulation period. Look in your Bible, please, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 6. Revelation chapter 6. And I'm going to take time to do this. This morning I pray to God to burn it in our hearts. In Revelation chapter 6, Daniel describes this time as the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the tribulation period. It's the time when the church has been taken out. The saints of God are gone. You and I who are saved are gone. The Holy Spirit of God will stop his restraining work. Antichrist will rise to the forefront. He'll be a super person, somebody who can handle the world's economy, or promise them he can. He'll unify world religion, and there'll be no divisions and no wars because of religion. He'll get one world finance, and that's already in motion already. And he'll do all those things. But you don't have to worry about Antichrist. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about Antichrist. If you're not saved, you really don't have to worry about Antichrist. Because if you're not saved, more than likely you're going to take his seal. It's just those few, that few small remnant that's going to refuse to take his seal. While you won't take Christ now, why do you think you'll believe on him then? You won't repent now when there's no pressure on you. And suppose you had an oppressive world ruler that said if you did not take the mark, you couldn't buy or sell or get gain. More than that, you'd die. It'd be so easy if we just take that seal, and you will. You'll do that. Matter of fact, the Bible said God shall send them strong delusions that they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. So all those who listen to me now and the sound of my voice, you don't have to worry about Antichrist. You'll be on his side. But what you'd better worry about is God. You'll have to fear him. Look with me, please, as I go through this quickly this morning. What are some of the sequence of events that will happen after the church is taken out? And when Antichrist begins to come to the forefront, God sends these things. God sends these calamities on the face of the earth. What happens? Look in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat down to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. You want to live in a world where there's absolutely no peace? We live in a society where there's a certain amount of peace. I know that you live in danger. I know that we live in a dangerous world, and there are wars going on around the world now. But there will come a day there will be absolutely no refuge for peace. There will be no country on the face of the earth where there's peace. There will be no society. There will be no escape. There will be no retreats that you can go to where you'll find peace. He takes peace completely out of the world. Verse 6 of this same chapter. He makes a simple statement, a measure of wheat for a penny. That's a day's salary. You can get a handful of wheat for a whole day's salary. And famine's coming to this world. It's coming quickly. And it's going to take over this world. And there'll be worldwide famine during this time. Look at verse 8 of Revelation 6. And I looked, behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and the beast of the earth. One fourth of the world's population will die at that time. The day of the vengeance of the Lord is coming. Look on a little further. Look at verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as figs casting her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the captains, and the mighty men, and every bound man, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, to the rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Antichrist? No. From the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There's coming a time when peace is gone, worldwide famine, and people will be trying to hide from God. God will shake this earth, shake every island, shake every mountain, and there'll be great earthquakes, and men will realize that God's behind that, and they'll run. Skip over to chapter number 8 quickly, if you will, please. Chapter 8, look at verse number 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And a third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass. I mean, when God sends his judgment, it falls on his creation. A third of the trees are burned up. All the grass is burned up. Look at verse 8. The second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. God is moving. It's a sequence to this thing. And he sends this mighty mountain into the sea. A third of the sea becomes blood. And everything in it dies. A third part of all the creatures of the sea die. Can you imagine the stench of that? And everything, a third of the creatures of the sea die. A third of the ships were destroyed. Look a little further, if you will, please, at verse number 11. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And the third part of the water became wormwood, and many died of water because they were made bitter, which means poison. A third of the world's water supply becomes poison, and men die because of that. Who's behind all this? Not Antichrist. The day of the vengeance of the Lord has come, and God's judging. Look in chapter 9. And there came out of the smoke locusts, verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts from the earth, upon the earth. And at them was given power, as a scorpion of the earth hath power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their forehead. Those who have obeyed Antichrist, only those who followed Antichrist, they're going to be the targets of this great judgment. And these creatures that come out of this pit, what are they? What do you think they are? I think they're demons. I really do. And demons will be unleashed. There are demons active in the world right now. Throughout the Word of God, you see demon activity. It is intensifying day after day after day in this nation and around the world. Demon activity is picking up. Here are these hideous beings that come out. You look at it, and they'll torment men. And the Bible says in that day, verse 6, in those days shall men seek death, shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This torment of these demons will be so. They'll want to die, but they can't die. Look over in chapter 9, verse 18. And these three were the third part of the men killed by fire and by smoke and by brimstone, which issued out of his mouth. And their power was in their mouth and in their tail. And their tails were like serpents, and their heads with them they do hurt. The rest of the men which were not killed of the plagues, watch this, yet repented not of their works of their hands. They did not repent. They wouldn't repent. God puts that little note in there. They would not repent. Remember what he said in the book of Revelation? Repent or else I'll come. And my dear friend, there is an or else to that. Look at verse number 21. Neither repented they of their murder, of their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. They would not repent. In spite of all that God's doing, they still won't repent. Turn to chapter number 16. Chapter number 16, the day of the vengeance of the Lord. When God begins to pour out his wrath on this earth, he does it in sequence. He does it in step by step. And he said they would not repent. In chapter 16, verse 1, and the first wind poured his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men that had the mark of the beast and upon them that worshipped his image. This is poured out on those who are following Antichrist. You don't have to worry about Antichrist. You'll be hooked up with him if you don't know Jesus, if you've never been saved. And if you're here during that time, those who are worshiping the beast, it says this, these sores will cover them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. Look at verse 3. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became blood of a dead man. And every soul died in the sea. Now all the world's seas become blood, and everything in there dies. Verse 4. The third angel poured his vial upon the rivers and fountains. And oh, how I love the rivers, how beautiful they are, those particularly in the mountains and those fountains. Sometimes you find those artesian wells, but there's coming a time, notice what it says, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and which shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. There's a time when God says, enough is enough. All the rivers, all the fountains become blood. Verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with a great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Again, God notes that they do not repent. Verse 10, it says this, this great darkness that comes over the face of the earth, and it's that heavy, deep darkness that causes panic inside of a man, and they gnaw their tongue with pain. In verse 11, it says, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. God is looking and noting this repeatedly. They would not repent. They would not repent. They would not repent over and over again. In chapter 16, in verse number 20, it says, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. The mountains of the world crumbled. The islands fall away. In verse 21, he talks about the great hail that falls on the earth, weighs a talent, which is about 100 pounds. Many die from that. Oh, that's an awful time when God judges the world. But go all the way to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 15 again. Revelation chapter 20. You don't have to worry about Antichrist. God's the one doing this. It's the God that you've rejected. It's the God that you will not bow to. It's the God that you will not receive His Son. It's the God that America has voted out of the public school. It's the God that America has snubbed their nose at when they legalized homosexuality and abortion. It's that same God that says enough is enough. And ultimately, that's a 7-year period called the tribulation period. But here's the final analysis, chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That book of life records those who've been born again by the grace of God. And you say, Brother Billy, what in the world? What is our hope? Now that's coming. That's coming. You and I are going to see that. What's next on God's timetable? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I believe that with all my heart. The Lord Himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, I want you to look at chapter 5 and verse number 9. You say, Brother Billy, those are horrible things you're talking about. And can I say to you, my heart is heavy this morning. I'm burdened for my country. I'm burdened for lost people. But look in chapter 5 of the book of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I've got hope this morning. I'm not going there. I'm not going through the tribulation period. I won't ever see the mark of the beast. I won't ever have to experience God's judgment of those vials. And neither will you if you've been saved by the grace of God. We're not appointed to wrath. Turn back in 1 Thessalonians, look in chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let me share this with you. And listen to what Paul is excited about. Paul's going to write to them about the coming of the Lord. He's going to write to them about the rise of Antichrist. He's going to write to them about every person who has not believed the truth being damned. But he says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You and I are already, if you've been saved by the grace of God, praise God, you're delivered. I'm not saying we won't see bad times before He comes, but my dear friend, we won't ever take a second into the tribulation period. We're leaving out of here. Those who know the Lord, we're not appointed to wrath. Those who know the Lord, we have been delivered from the wrath to come, and thank God for it. And you say, Brother Billy, how in the world can you get like that? How do you get that way? The Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 10, that the wage of sin is death. The wage of sin is death. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call on Him now. Right now you can repent. Right now you can cry out to Him. And I believe God's call, just like we had in revival, and our men who preached so faithfully during revival, pleaded with us. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. God's call is for you as believers to turn and to repent and to live for him and love him and seek him. And then to be faithful to do what Paul said. And for those who are not saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can be born again by the grace of God simply by calling. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want you to listen as I read to you. You don't have to turn to it. You can make a note of it. In the book of Joel, chapter number 3 and verse 13. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overfloweth, for their wickedness is great. God's going to say enough's enough. He's going to say, here it is right now. The wickedness is full. I've had enough of that. He said, the vat is full. And he says over and over again, I'll tread the winepress of my wrath. God's going to bring judgment. God's going to bring judgment. Now listen to the next verse in Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision. You say, Brother Billy, I never would line up with Antichrist. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You've rejected Christ over and over. Oh, you say, well, I'm not a blasphemer. Well, you trod underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because you've never trusted him. Holy Spirit of God's drawn you, spoke to you, dealt with you. Time and time again, you've rejected him. This is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible to me. Because I see people in my own heart that I say, when God judges them, hallelujah for that. Because they need judging. I look at the sin. Look at those who are child abusers. And those people who have tortured people, put to death, awful things. And I could say, even in my own heart, God, you're righteous for judging them. But this passage of Scripture is a very troubling passage of Scripture because it says this, multitudes in the valley of decision, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. That day is coming. And I'm telling you something, God's not changing it earlier or later. He's already got a set time. He knows when it's coming. And I don't know when it's coming, and you don't know when it's coming. I don't know when the rapture is going to occur, and you don't know when the rapture is going to occur. But it's a day. It might be a Sunday, it might be a Monday or Tuesday, it may be in June, it may be May the 15th, it may be May the 16th, maybe the 17th. I don't know what date it is. Some people going through and they've tried to figure out when he's coming. I'm not sure when he's coming, but I know it's a day. I know it's a day when time will stand still. It's a time when your calendar won't matter anymore. It's a time when your retirement won't matter anymore. It's a time when your future won't matter anymore. Your plans for education or marriage or vacation, all that's going to come to an end. It's going to come to a screeching halt in the day of the vengeance of the Lord. And here's the sad thing. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So many people weighing their options. Should I trust Christ? Should I live for God? Should I do this? Should I do that? But the day of the Lord's coming. And while you're trying to make up your mind, he may come and you'll be left behind and you'll have to go into the tribulation period and you will take the mark of the beast and you will experience all of that and you will end up in the lake of fire for all eternity. And what are you and I to do as believers? We're to be faithful. You got to look past what you're seeing now. Be challenged by that. Be challenged to do what we can for Jesus. But be encouraged by the fact that you who are troubled, rest with us. The Lord shall come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. He said in 1 Thessalonians, he hath not appointed us to wrath. He has already saved us from the wrath to come. That day's coming. It's going to come a time, my dear friend, that his judgment's going to fall. And that'll be over then. I plead with you today, by means of internet and radio audience, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God's people, you need to repent. We need to repent and do what we're going to do for Jesus. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed. That's not a Sunday school lesson. I've read you historical accounts that have not happened yet. It's going to happen. The news media will not understand what's going on. They'll report it as best they can, but they won't be able to comprehend why rivers have turned to blood. Why men running to and fro across the earth in panic, such horror and fear that they're trying to kill themselves and they can't even die. Day's coming. Glad I'm saved. Glad I know Christ. It's my burden that every one of my children, my grandchildren, every person that God allows me to preach to or pass on the street or meet, it's my desire that every one of them come to know Christ. But please understand, it's not going to keep on. Not going to keep on. It's coming to an end. The day of the vengeance of the Lord is coming. It's coming very soon. I want to challenge you this morning as believers. And when I've carried this burden now for quite a few days, but I've delivered my heart, delivered burden. And tonight I'll be shouting when we come back to church, because I'm preaching tonight on the God of the hopeless case. But we have that continual burden. And our days are short, and our time's short, and do what we're going to do for God. We need to repent, pray, and seek His face. And I plead with you this morning, men and women, boys and girls, multitudes in the valley of decision, the day of the Lord is near and the valley of decision is coming. You can't wait till you get older. Can't wait till you weigh out all the options. If I were you, I'd run to Calvary right now just as quick as I could. Say, dear Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Save me right now. Right now, right where you're seated. We may never get to give an invitation. I may never get a chance to have you to stand. But right now, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Call on Him now. Right now, call on Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He loved you and He died for you. Call on Him. He'll save you now. Call on Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. I want to challenge you. Here's my challenge this morning, invitation for God's people. You notice how in that passage of Scripture over and over again He said, and they repented not, and they repented not. Looks to me like He's looking for repentance. And He said, if My people which are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, I'll heal their land. I'm telling you, God's people ought to get around the altar this morning. You'll lead the way. Ask God to purge us and cleanse us. Make us aware of where we failed Him. Search our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in us. If you're not saved this morning, I invite you to trust Christ as your Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, dear Lord Jesus, that God, You'd move on the heart of God's people. Our Father, I pray, God, You'd do something in me. God, I pray You'd move on my heart. God, we confess to You this morning that we need God to move on us. God, bring us to a place of brokenness and surrender and yieldingness. And I pray, Holy Ghost of God, that You would, Lord, send real revival. God, help us to be honest this morning. And God, I pray this morning for dear friends who are in the valley of decision. They're not in their own eyes wicked people. They don't endorse much of what's going on across this nation. They have a respect for the things of God. God, they've never trusted Your Savior. God, they've been thinking about it. God, they've been wanting to. They've been asking questions. But God, I pray today that God, today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray, God, today they'd cry out to You for mercy. And God, receive You as Savior and Lord. God, have Your way now.